So I want us to walk with me in your imagination down the street, Winthrop Street, from my home in Holliston. And we're going to walk down a quarter mile, and we're going to take a hard right turn. And then about 200 yards, we're going to take a left turn. And there's a long road, this canopy of trees overhead. This beautiful place. And there you'll find a small lake tucked away, Lake Winthrop, that freezes when there is winter, if we ever have winter again. And that in the summer is a haven for children to wade in and swim and catch frogs and fish. Is this water clean? Asks the adults. Do not ask. On cool nights, just before sunset, after the lake is empty and everyone has gone home, my kids and I wander down to the shore and share one of our favorite activities, our pastimes, one that my dad did with me on the shorelines of my childhood. Go, I tell them, go find stones. Do not pick up the ones that have hard edges. Find the stones that are smooth. And they do, and they carry them back to me in the pocket of their t-shirts folded up, a canopy, and in their hands cupped together. And then I pull out my favorite childhood toy. This is from my childhood. It's a wrist rocket slingshot. And we take turns putting stones into the sling out over this lake. With each stone, I tell them, make a wish, but keep it to yourself. And then they pause and they close their eyes, making their wish for themselves. And then we launch these stones into the blue, black water of Lake Winthrop. 200, sometimes 300 yards, each stone breaking the surface of the water, this large body of water, sending ripples in every direction. This morning, I am thinking of this image, and I am thinking of you and me. In the story that Kate shared for us, a small young David is slinging 5 stones at the large, overwhelming Goliath, ultimately knocking him out with one shot and giving inspiration to underdog stories for the rest of time. So what I'm imagining this morning is that you and I are like David. And instead of some Goliath, some soldier, you and I are on the shoreline of that lake. Small, young, underpowered, and that the Goliath in our midst is not some big man, it's not Roger Dembler. Instead, it's this big, blue, dark, open body of water. And it's churning not just with water, but with the needs of the world. There's waves of tragedy coming from this side. Waves of injustice coming from this side. Oh, look, here comes the tidal wave of another national election. Here comes the wave of blame game politics and God and country religion. Here comes the wave of contraception politics. Where did that come from? Here comes the wave of fundamentalists on the left and on the right, foghorning their way through CNN and Fox News. Do I get the sense that sometimes we worry that you and I will be swept away on that shoreline? I feel like that. So this is what I'm wondering as you and I stare out on this lake that is our life, that is the world. What would it mean for us to be like David and stand our ground and bear witness against all that we see? Religious witness. What are the smooth stones we can put into our slings and then send them out 100, 200, 300 yards into those churning waters, each with a wish, with a prayer that can go in all directions? I am inspired by one of our faith's best theologians, James Luther Adams. He was the minister in our Wellesley congregation down the street in the 1930s, and then he became professor at Harvard Divinity School, all the way until his death in 1994. He has an orange book of selected essays that is on my nightstand, and in one of those essays, he talks about the 5 smooth stones of religious liberalism, of who we are. So now you know why we have these stones here. So let me suggest, as we stand on this lake, my friends, that you and I can put these stones into our sling. Stone number 1, it doesn't quite fit my slingshot. Stone number 1 is revelation is always happening. It's always happening. You see this Bible? This Bible was given me by my Aunt Jan in 1976. It's a picture Bible. It's a note written inside. Dear Nathan, may you find here what you seek. Its stories and its pictures are beautiful. And its messages are no less a part of me than my own name. It is a part of who I am. And for the longest time, until I arrived at the doorstep of one of our congregations, I was taught that God, the sacred, the holy, pick your word, please, spoke once and for all only in this book. Not in the world, not in my life, not in your life, not in music from the choir, not in poetry, not in music, not in touching, certainly not in the traditions of some other religion. Instead, I was told, Nathan, if you want to know God, if you want to enter the gates of heaven, you must know and study this book, and only that. And so I did, and I did it well. I got the religion award in high school. But there came a time for me, as perhaps there's come a time for you, when out of a deep loneliness for holy company, we stood on those shorelines watching those Goliath waves and longed to know, as I did, that the sacred was still speaking to me and to you, that the holy didn't only speak then in this book and was finished, but is speaking now and here to us. This stone is for times and moments like that. When we look at the world and we feel overwhelmed by all the unnecessary destruction, asking, where is the good? Asking, what does it all mean? Asking, even, where is God? And it's then that we can reach for this stone and sling it out over the water. Pay attention, it says. Revelation is still happening. Grace over there. Healing over there. Little victories of love way, way in the back. Pay attention. This stone against this lake is small, but it can send ripples in all directions. Stone number 2. Respect in human relationships. And I'm thinking of the stone, I'm thinking, as I told the board of directors at our meeting on Thursday, of the bumper sticker I saw in the parking lot of the prison after visiting Daniel. Daniel, one of 2, soon to be 3 prisoners we are mentoring as they get their college degree. So we're walking in this parking lot, I think it was with Bob Murchison and I, and it read, I would be a humanitarian if people weren't such jerks. Except that it didn't say jerks. Who would put a sticker like that on their car? I only had to wait 1 minute. And there a security guard goes and gets in his car and drives away. But can we acknowledge the truth, looking out at that lake of diverse people, diverse needs, less than perfect, that people, even you, even me, can sometimes be very, very hard to like. And here's the good news, my friends. Our faith does not ask you to like people. Does not ask that. We are asked a different question. Not, am I supposed to be everybody's friend? Instead, can I be loving more than I want to be right? Can I respect someone even if I don't respect their ideas? Am I my brother's keeper? Can I be a good neighbor? I want us to listen very closely to our leaders this year as we stand on the shorelines and hear them use faith talk to win arguments and influence us. I want us to listen closely and ask ourselves, are they appealing to the parts in you that call you to fight and divide and disrespect and disavow? Or are they appealing to the parts in you that invite you to stand up for what you believe in and also honor the person who believes differently? Because as people of faith, as Unitarian Universalists, and this goes to John's point that it's hard to talk about who and what we are. We, you and I, make it very clear what side we stand on. Our covenant that we say every Sunday and our principles in our hymnal tell us that you and I stand for something. We say love is the spirit. We affirm and honor all people. Speak the truth in love. Dwell in peace, and we say, help one another. We utter these words week in and week out, and at times I wonder if it feels like we are talking to ourselves and no one is listening and the room is empty. What difference does it make, we ask? What power do we have? Is anyone out there listening at all? But I want us to never mind our doubts just this once. This stone that is showing respect toward others may be small in that lake, but even small stones send ripples in every direction. Stone number three, establish a loving community. In other words, make a home for more than just yourself. This stone is for all those nuns out there. And I do not mean Sister Antonio, who taught me second grade, but nun, as in, I want none of that religious community stuff. Thank you very much. I'm none of this, I'm none of that. I'm more private. My church is an hour spent in the woods. My religion is an hour spent listening to music on NPR. Leave me alone. Does this sound familiar? Describe anybody you know? It definitely should, because all of these nuns are increasing, and people like you who choose to spend an hour in community and worship together are decreasing. Apparently, ministers like me are the equivalent of the last wagon wheel makers. And so, the stone we send to the nuns in those waters is this. Join us. Are you not hungry for companionship? Do you not long for a place that will help you breathe in and breathe out? Do you not want to help create a more livable and lovable world with more people than just yourself, who will not run screaming from the room when your idea of the holy does not fit theirs. Join us, the stone says, and drink from the well that is this particular congregation that for 327 years has been a center and a source of strength, a wellspring. We may be small in number. Our stone may be small. We may be the underdogs. But even small stones can send ripples in every direction. Stone number four, make good things happen. We didn't think we'd get through a whole sermon without me giving us some etymology, did we? The word for this stone is holy. I've been using it this morning, provoking the inevitable question in the receiving line, but Nathan, what do you mean when you use that word? So it will help as we think about stone number four, that holy shares the same root as whole and heal. As in, we are called, you and I, to be a healing people, a whole people, a holy people, responding to a world that is broken. As Unitarian Universalists, you and I say something really very, very radical. Rick Santorum would definitely rip apart his sweater vest if he heard it. We say that holy and the holy is made manifest not by the minister or the ritual or a book. Instead, we say the holy is made manifest in us, in the heart, in me and in you and between us. When we make good things happen, when we deliver meals, when we write cards, when we show up for people, when we make a service pledge, when we stand up in church and talk about how this place has made a difference, when we make good things happen, we become holy people. And people will ask us, and they will ask you, as I'm sure they have, what is the sense of your small effort, your little church, a little donation you can give? And we reply, no one has the right to sit on their hands and feel hopeless or helpless. There is too much work to do. Make something good and holy happen. It does not have to be large. It does not have to be dramatic. You are just one person, and we are just one community. But the thing about this stone and about holiness is that even though it is small, when it breaks the surface of the water in our life, it can send ripples in all directions. And last but not least, we have one more stone, stone number five. Positive change is possible. And to borrow from MLK, I want to tell us this morning that I have a dream. I have a dream that one day optimism will again be fashionable. I have a dream that irony and hipster resignation will not be the temperaments of style. That those of us working to build places like this of love and justice won't be accused of being hopelessly out of touch, or worse, a Pollyanna, as I recently was. We Unitarian Universalists live with the reality of war and greed and oppression and disease. You name it, we get it, we know. We know the lake is big. We don't need to keep hearing you tell us over and over. We know the waves are numerous. And yet, on the shoreline, we stand our ground and we say, you and I can be agents of change. This we believe, that our souls are meant for spending and not saving. We say miracles abound in this world and not some other world that we're all waiting for. We say religion can be a source of blessing in life and not abuse. We say we can create communities like this one where people can be themselves, can just be themselves without fear. We say we believe that soul force is stronger than violent force. We say that transformation is possible. And this is our good news. This is how you talk about our faith. It needn't be complicated. We may not be well known, but when our good news is shared, guess what? It can send ripples in all directions. I know it can be difficult to live up to and live out and describe this faith. It can be hard to be like David on the shore facing Goliath waves, wondering how you and I can make a difference with our tradition, with our church in the world. So I want us to know that from our slings into the waiting, hurting world that is the lake of our life, we say, pay attention. Revelation is always happening. We say, honor all people. We say, join together in loving community. We say, make good things happen. And we say, finally, positive change is possible. So I want to thank you, each of you, for standing your ground.